Blog Talk Radio.
I was sick too. I was sick all through September. 3 weeks I was sick, man. I didn't take any medicine though, because I don't trust the shit anymore. I'm paranoid, man. I've noticed over the last couple of years, any new medicine that they advertise on TV, the last 20 seconds of the commercials are just totally psycho side effects to whatever they're trying to advertise. You ever notice that shit? And they always try to slide it in real quick, too, like it's no big deal. Just like, yeah, it cures your headache. Everything's great. Then your ear falls off, you can't feel your feet, and you won't recognize your mother. 40% of the people were bleeding from the ass, and one guy thought he was a pigeon. I'm not even exaggerating that bad. I saw this shit the other night, right? It's supposed to cure, like, stomach acid. End of the commercial, the three side effects were migraine headaches, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. Who the hell would try that shit? You basically try that shit. You go from, like, one problem to three. You're just walking away like, how's your stomach acid? It's great. Never felt better. Diarrhea is not a side effect. That is a major goddamn problem. All right, where I'm from, the evening is over. What, are there actually people out there like, oh, this little diarrhea, don't worry. Just gonna kind of slam my ass cheek shut. I'll be all right. Actually, diarrhea is the least of my problems at this point. It's helping to take my mind off the migraine headache and the knifing abdominal pain in my stomach. Dude, you don't try anything that causes diarrhea. Diarrhea is evil. That is basically your body going, you know what? You have something so foul within your system, we can't wait for the normal process of elimination. We have to get rid of that shit right now. Yeah, but dude, I'm still on the bus. Fuck it, now! You have some evil in your ass, and it has got to go immediately. We must override all do not shit in your pants systems because you, sir, have a storm brewing. All right, my name is Bill Burr. You guys have a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
All right. I tried replacing that. I tried replacing that with a different audio, but it's not letting me for some reason.
No, because it wants the storm to brew.
Huh?
Because it wants the storm to brew.
It was funny the first two times, but now it's not funny anymore. Anyways, he's got a point. I mean, basically, these pharmaceuticals, they have these psycho side effects, and why would people take that stuff? I still don't understand. But people still do it.
Because their doctor said it was okay.
Right, and they worship their doctor.
And, you know, there are people that if the president said it was okay to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, it's all right, we'll catch you before you hit the water, they would do it.
Right.
They would do it in mass. They'd do it even though they saw 1,000 other people hit the water and die. That's, you know, and we got religions based on that kind of faith.
So anyways, we do not practice man's medicine. We practice God's medicine.
As best we can determine it.
Which is why we do free food and medicine. The Worldwide Woo-hoo. Edible Plant Guide.
So, would you like to read from that book or do some highlights from that book?
Okay. Well, you want me to read the yellow doc or do you want me to read the sorrow?
The yellow doc.
You would. It's the long one.
Well, you know, right. People who are going to listen to the download will hear me reading from my book, so.
That's cool. Actually, I'll read book, because the sorrow is like two-liner.
Okay.
There are over 200 species of Rumex, which is the family in which sorrow is in, which includes docks. Apparently there's more than one. And buckwheat, one of the most popular sorrows. Wait, one of the most popular sorrows is, oh, sheep sorrow. Okay, so it led into sheep sorrow.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I did know that. I knew that was in the, yeah, it's in the buckwheat family.
Yeah. So, that's a short blurb. The great instant snack food. Leaves shaped like knife, sword, arrowhead, which are with tall flowering stalks that sometimes resemble red grass with small reddish colored flowers stuck close to the stalk that sometimes branches at the top. Male flowers are yellow, female flowers are red, like lipstick. It has a strong, tart, sour apple or lemony flavor. Quite a fun plant to eat. The entire plant is edible. Contains lots of soluble oxalate, but shouldn't be a concern to someone eating a diverse, healthy diet. A great addition to any type of salad, used for inflammatory diarrhea, menstrual bleeding, has multiple cancer-preventing compounds and mutagenic, making it a popular anti-cancer plant. It's one of the ingredients in the famous Essiac tea remedy.
There you go.
So, I don't know if wood sorrow is in this family or not. Probably not.
No, not even close.
Wood sorrow is also sour by nature and is a great salad and delicious and nutritious. So, yellow dock, also known as curly dock. Leaves that look like pointy tip lasagna with tall seed stalks covered in seeds that turn brown and dry later in the year, having a slightly nutty flavor. The leaves are a light yellow or purple medium fine, different color than leaves. A very common but highly useful body purifying weed. Whole plant usable. Young leaves edible. Root is mostly medicinal. a non-irritating laxative for constipation. It calms the intestinal intestines and comforts inflammation of the intestinal lining. Tea enhances digestive and improves appetite. Used to detoxify the liver, clean the blood, bowel infections, treat peptic ulcers, invigorates the liver and colon with glycosides. Great for healing gut. Maybe help with leaky gut syndrome, which somebody was talking about earlier today or yesterday. Where was I? Okay. Great for healing the gut, urinary stones, and bladder inflammation. So it'll help with kidney stones and bladder stones. Let's see here. Soothes respiratory system. Helps body absorb nutrients. So there you go. Removes toxins from the urine. Contains anthraquinones, which stop.
I'm looking at the same words here. Yeah.
Okay. Which stops ringworms and fungus. Used historically for sexual diseases like syphilis. Pulls toxins from the blood, lymph, and body tissues. Raises red blood cell count. More oxygen in your blood. Relieves heavy menstrual periods, pain, fibroids, and anemia. Rich in iron, and even helps relieve depression, inflammation, and next page, swelling. Great for skin conditions and itching. used for centuries for great results with skin conditions like eczema, psoriasis, rashes, boils, and abscesses. Helps remove sores, pimples, hey, there you go, that's, and problems from the skin. Can be mixed with sage.
We should be making a poultice of this for when we get sugar bites.
Probably. Can be mixed with sage as a tea and consumed and also put in the bath if you want to make a really good healing cleanser. Mix yellow dock with burdock, dandelion, and even some nettles. Now you've got some serious cleaning power. Now, in the other book, it was saying, in my backyard medicine book, it was saying that over the centuries, I think it said the Irish, in my book, used to use it as a remedy for rashes from stinging nettle. And David's book basically said the same thing, but from another country.
Right. Did your reading mention helping with liver disorders and skin problems? Skin problems, yes.
Yeah, it did.
Right. I'm not sure if the recording's going to cut off in 60 seconds or not, but it says it will. Why don't you give the contact information in case it does?
Yeah, sorry, we started late because we had technical problems. I had technical problems. but yeah, once this cuts us off, we're going to go over. Maybe Blog Talk will keep recording. But you can find the rest of this at freefoodandmedicine.org. Okay.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, so this guy in this book, he mentions that having rumicin, it's a liver decongestant. That liver disorders often relate to skin problems. It also stimulates the liver to produce bile. The decoction works as a bitter tonic for the stomach and another active ingredient, anodine, stimulates peristalsis. I'm not sure what that is. I'm sorry, folks, and I probably mispronounced it. Making this herb a good remedy for consumption. Oh, for constipation. I'm sorry. Read the word. Yes, from lung disorder to bowel movement problems.
I don't know.
My error is not what the book said.
I don't know if you can smoke it, but one of the girls in our community wanting to put together a smoke blend.
I suspect you can't smoke it because this guy says he tried to cook it. And if you cook it for more than if you steam it for more than 5 to 10 minutes, it turns into a gooey mess. Which is great if you're making a stew. If you're making a stew, it kind of melts into the stew and helps thicken the stew. It turns a yellow green color and moves around. I guess it melts in the pot. So I suppose if you dried it, you could smoke it. But yeah.
That's the idea.
Right. All right. So they're talking about the decoction. It says a large overdoses may cause gastrointestinal disturbance, leading to nausea and diarrhea. So, yeah, you can make a decoction, I can't say it. You can make medicine from the root, and it'll purify the liver. It acts as decongestant for the liver and stimulates the production of bile, so that'll help you digest things. All right. Apparently, this author doesn't think the root's very edible. I tell you, folks, I've dug up dock roots in the wintertime, and I've cut them up into very thin slices and cooked them into my stew. They weren't the best thing to eat, but they were nutritious, and they helped me get through the winter. Even got fat, but that wasn't the only thing I ate. But, it was part of my routine that particular winter. So, that and thistle roots and a couple of vegetables I still haven't been able to find in the books, but I used my grandmother's method for testing them and came to the conclusion they were all right for me to eat. So.
Like that one, it tastes like carrot?
Yes, like that one. Yep.
Yeah,
yeah, because that particular plant stays green all winter long.
Yeah, kind of like Wintercrest, whatever it's called.
Yes, that's one you kind of like and I don't.
Yeah,
I'm still not sure I identified it correctly, but
it looks exactly like watercress, but it doesn't grow in the water.
Okay, I'm looking for things that weren't mentioned in your book. It has a caution here. It says, very young curly dock leaves, when they've just started to come up in early spring, contain enough chirosulfanic acid to irritate your mouth when you eat them without washing them first. After one tour where everyone sampled this delicious green in the field, our tongues were a little numb for nearly 12 hours. All right, so, you know, doesn't sound like it'll kill you, but if you can figure out when to harvest it at that time, you can probably sneak it into somebody's food that you know, they talk too much, make their tongue feel numb. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, he gives an example of where he cooked it. That's, you know. So this is the author's words. I'm reading directly from here. I learned just how gooey this vegetable becomes when an experimental recipe I tried surprised me. Because dock leaves were so big, I thought they'd be great stuffed and baked. I made a tomato and rice filling with Italian seasoning and nuts, and rolled this into the dock leaves. And that actually sounds pretty good. The baked dock unexpectedly turned mucilaginous. I can't even say it right. Basically, it turned to slime. My vegetable rolls were delicious, but unsightly and messy. The dock and stuffing should have been baked into bell peppers.
There you go. Bell peppers. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so he said, yeah, he should have made stuffed bell peppers using the dock. You know, so. So they don't stand up to excessive cooking, basically. But if you steam them for, you know, like 5 to 10 minutes, you know, you can serve them up like cooked spinach. And, you know, I like to pour vinegar on my cooked spinach. It sounds like these won't need it because they'll have a lemony taste to them. So. Let's see now. Anything? I don't see anything else this book mentions that you didn't. Oh, there's this. This is actually kind of funny. Okay. Its tannin content makes curly dock astringent, good for wounds and bleeding. In a Star Trek Next Generations episode, Dr. Crusher had Captain Picard crush a yellow, bitter-tasting taproot. To her injuries. To stop the bleeding. Apparently, curly dock also grows on other planets.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I don't have any other original content here. So.
Original content.
Yeah, everything else I see in this book, Kano pretty well covered with Rothkrantz book there. So.
Yeah, I got a couple more. But one of the things that brought Doc to question or to the forefront of my mind, we were discussing what topic we were going to talk about tonight. And earlier, I was discussing with someone else what herbs are good for depression, and dock, yellow dock, was one of them.
Okay.
So, real quick, I'll read the herbs for depression. Some of them I may not be able to pronounce. But anyways, it says, of course, he often says the bitter stuff is best. Remember, bitter makes you less bitter. Stop.
Well, there you go.
Ashwagandha is good for depression. Baby sunrose, basil, bee pollen, maybe honey also. Black cohosh, blueberries, borage, not to be confused with porridge.
Borage reminds me a lot of comfrey, but it's like a, I don't think they're related, but it's like a, it's smaller fuzzy cousin.
Oh, okay.
It's I don't think they're related. It's just, you know, it you know, has, I don't know, seems to have a similar appearance to me.
Boswellia. Not sure what that is. I'll have to look that up. Cinnamon. Chaparral.
Chaparral.
Yeah. You're familiar with it. I'm not.
Not so much.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll do our podcast on that in the future. Chicory. We've done our podcast on chicory, no?
On the lettuce family. I'm not sure about chicory itself.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to get some growing in the middle of our field.
Yeah. It usually grows, that little purple flower that usually grows along the roads is chicory.
Yeah, purple blue. It's near blue color.
Yeah, bluish purple.
Yep.
The next herb is I can't pronounce it. It's Damiana. Damiana.
I'm not familiar with it.
Me neither. Evening primrose, and then false unicorn.
False unicorn?
I know, right?
Is that a unicorn with two horns?
Maybe. Fennelgrass, ginseng, ginkgo biloba, goth cola, not gouda cola, but goth cola.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably black. You know, because it's goth.
Funny.
Kelp. And then hops.
Hops?
Hops help with depression.
Oh, that's where the beer comes in.
Huh?
So drink more beer, it'll help with depression.
Well, not really, but that's probably why people drink beer, because they think it helps them with their depression because of the hops, but because it does other things to their body.
It's the alcohol. It's the alcohol that messes with that process.
Right. So they need the hops.
It's just like grapes are good for you. Yeah.
They need the hop, but they're going for the alcohol because it stimulates the depression, but also gives them other problems. It's like taking a pharmaceutical.
Pretty much.
Loquat are good for depression. And get this.
Yeah, it grows out in California.
Get this. Mimosa. Is good for depression.
Mimosa.
Yep.
All right. The flower or other part?
Don't know. Maybe we'll do our podcast on that next week.
Right. A little out of season.
Moringa. And like we was just talking about with the yellow dock being a cure for stinging nettle.
Yes.
Regular nettles. Well, I don't know what kind of nettles. It just says nettle. Is good for depression as well.
Yeah, stinging nettle is good for depression.
Oh, there you go. Oat grass is good for depression.
Yeah, I don't know why all these other things are good for depression, but I suspect it's because of their nutrient content. You know, if you got a lot of vitamin B's in a food, it's going to be good for depression.
Right. Orange peelings are good for depression.
Excellent.
Which means...
What's wrong with that is? Where do you get organic ones?
Yeah, I know. Well, the essential oils from these products also might help. So